Good morning, and thanks for being with us to the Means of Facebook this morning. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5 again. Matthew chapter 5, for those here in the auditorium, I will ask you to please stand with me as we read God's holy word. Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast down and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you, and we ask that you would bless your holy word this morning as we're reminded again, Heavenly Father, of our responsibility as kingdom citizens, Lord, as you have called us to be two important factors in this dark and dying world, Lord, that we are to be salt and we are to be light. Lord, I pray your graces to be a testimony for your honor and for your glory, because we know when it's all said and done, at the end of verse 16, we're reminded that anything we do is for your honor and your glory, not for us, Lord, but that your name will be glorified, which is in heaven. And so, Lord, again, bless your word this morning. Give us that hearing ear, receptive heart, and a mind to understand those glorious truths. And so, God, bless your word this morning, for we ask it in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. And so this morning, as we return to the Sermon on the Mount, and we look at the next point in the outline that was given to you at the start of the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 5, we're speaking on the insight for the kingdom. And we've already seen in verses 1 to 2, the care of the kingdom, verses 3 to 12, on the beatitude, the character of the kingdom. And this morning, we'll be looking at number 3, the calling in the kingdom. And under this third point, or third sub-point, we have three more sub-points. In verse 13, we have a high calling. In verses 14 to 15, we have a holy calling. And then in verse 16, we have a heavenly calling. And so this morning, as we consider a third point of the calling of the kingdom, we'll be looking only at the first point, and that is, we have a high calling and dealing with the aspect of salt. And I want to read that verse again in verse 13, when it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden underfoot of men." And so again, the Bible teaches that those who are followers of Christ, that we have a high calling, a holy calling, and a heavenly calling in the kingdom of God. And so, my dear ones, I remind you, this is not a light thing, because we do have an immense calling as naming the name of Christ. And I believe perhaps this is the point that Christ is seeking to make here, because remember, he has left the aspect of the generalities of they and theirs, to now he's speaking specifically to us, and he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." And so, again, we must understand that the kingdom of God does come in power, and of course, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you think about it, the influence of salt and light is the only visible application regarding us in walking in this earth as a testimony for our God, and thus the importance of submitting ourselves to the command and instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you that in contrast to this, again, you have the world standard that is perhaps so diametrically opposed, and thus shows us the importance of being that salt and light. Plus, as Christ already told us, we need to be poor in spirit, mourners, meek, thirsting after righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, being peacemakers, and knowing that we could face awful persecution for the sake of Christ. But remember, Christ declared, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And now he describes us, he leads the Beatitudes, and now he describes us as being salt and light. And I will say this much, there's no greater joy in this world than to be a Christian, a true child of God, one who is born again into the kingdom of God. And I mean that, there's no greater joy than that. But Along with that, please understand that it comes with great conflict against the world's humanistic ideology. And therefore, do not misunderstand or misconstrue my next phrase. But when we speak about Christianity, again, I always, as I say often, in a sense, it is not easy to be a Christian. It is not easy to be in the kingdom of God. And therefore, it is not easy to be light and salt. But this is our calling, if we name the name of Christ. And so there's a sense that Christ has set forth this so that we can understand the Beatitudes in its application. And this was more like the culmination and conclusion, again, to the conflict that exists between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness that is in this present evil world. And so the importance of being salt and light, setting forth that royal banner of the glorious kingdom of God. And if you've been a Christian for some time, I think that you clearly understand the opposition of the world to Christianity or God himself. And so the question is asked, how can a true Christian live in such a way that he'll make impact for the glory of God in a world, again, that is diametrically opposed to their belief? And I believe this is the whole point of our Lord Jesus Christ in leaving the generalities in dealing with, you know, theirs and they, to now make it a more specific, calling us ye or you, those who are in the kingdom of God. And so he turned from the blessings and teaching to the Beatitude to the application of salt and light. And so again, the Lord uses two simple basic illustrations from everyday life. Salt and light. Salt and light. And so it teaches us what it means to be a Christian in this dark and dying heathen, idolatrous, ungodly world. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, he's not asking you, would you like to be the salt of the earth? Isn't it like God is, or Christ is saying, Brother Ben, would you like to be the salt of the earth? No, Ben, you are the salt of the earth. And I could include with everybody's name here this morning, and all those professing on Facebook. He's not asking you. He's telling you, you are the light of the world. You are the salt in the earth. And that comes with a tremendous responsibility as naming the name of Christ. And plus, it means that being salt and light, it means there's no break. There's no timeout. There's no timeout. There's no vacation. You can't take a vacation. Or like, you know, you go to work and you punch in at 8 and you punch out. You don't punch out and say, whew, I'm tired of being a light today. I'm just going to take it easy today. I'm just so tired of being so much light. No, no, that's not it. It's a 24-hour calling. It comes with the territory of being a child of God, that you are salt of the earth and the light of the world. It is so powerful when you think about it. And therefore, as I also often say, the Christianity is the hardest life to live. So when Christ says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the earth, he's telling us what is our responsibility as being followers of him. This morning, we shall concentrate on the aspect of salt. And there's so much regarding salt that I'm not even going to cover everything. I don't have time. It could be a series of messages when you think about it, really. There's so much about salt. So we deal with salt this morning and being light next week. And there are three things that I want to set before you of the many that come to mind as to the purpose and need of salt. Number one, the impact of salt. And I say this because salt is also for what? For preservation. And then number two, the importance of salt. Because salt is also for salivation or for flavoring. And then we'll conclude thirdly with the indispensability of salt. Because salt is also for sanctification. Because salt is used as a cleaning compound or a cleaning agent. And so Christ takes that which is of the world physically to apply it to our lives spiritually. And as I said, there'll be so much regarding salt that we cannot cover everything in regard to the subject. But Christ again said, ye are the salt of the earth. And so we'll consider the importance and the implications of being the salt of the earth. Again, I love the way Christ phrases this because he uses such emphatic language. He said, you, as though he's speaking to you as an individual, as a Christian, you and you alone, you name the name of Christ, you are salt, the salt of the earth. And so again, he speaks to all those who have been born again and translated into the kingdom of God. And we are the salt of the earth. You see, our schools and education, no matter how good they might be, they're not the salt of the earth. Nor is the government or any organization the salt of the earth. You, if you are in Christ, you are the salt of the earth. There's a big difference. And this is why, again, I believe that Christ shifted from the generalities of these and thous and theirs and they to you. Ye are the salt of the earth. He moved from the blessings of the Beatitude to now the needful practicing of what? In influencing the world in which we live. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, interesting that the word are, when it says ye are, the word are, A-R-E, is the Greek word este. Este. And this Greek word is in the second person plural to be. The word are, or Greek este, is also in what is known the indicative mood, which speaks of the mood of reality. Therefore, when it says ye are, it speaks of the specific salt factor in this present world. And I hope you're starting to see the high calling of being called the salt of the earth. Again, it means there's no other salt. Ye are. Circle that are in your Bible. You are the salt of the earth. And again, it's speaking to those who are bona fide Christian, not just a professor, a mere professor, but a true possessor of Christ. They are the only true salt, spiritual salt, kingdom salt, however you want to define it, of the world, of the earth. And not only is this Greek word este in the indicative mood, but it's also in the present tense, which expresses what? A perpetual continuation that indicates that being the salt of the earth is to be continual. This is the standard of our life in being in the kingdom of God. That we are salt. Again, in case you misunderstood me, the Greek word este, translated are in our English text, expresses and articulates a lifestyle which is continuous in the kingdom of God for every kingdom citizen, for every day of our life. Okay? In other words, as I said earlier, we don't take vacation from being the salt of the earth. Christ didn't look at you and he said, would you like to be the salt of the earth, as we said earlier? No, he's very emphatic. That's a powerful word, are in the Greek, este. You are presently, right now, and continually until the day you die, you are the salt of the earth. And we must take this as an individual responsibility and remind ourselves that being Christians, again, comes with a very high calling. It's not a light thing. Sinclair Ferguson, in his book on the Sermon on the Mount, which I love his title, A Kingdom Life in a Fallen World, he says this, he says, quote, like salt, Christians may seem small and insignificant, powerless in a power mad society. Yet they have the ability to influence every segment of it, to permeate the whole. Salt is cheap. Its value is minimal. But salt has unusual properties that far exceed its value, unquote. And then he continues by making this other point. Quote, The point needs little application, but it calls for a radical and costly application. Christians whose lives exhibit the qualities of the blessed will have a persevering impact upon a society that is left to itself will rot and deteriorate, unquote. And so it shows the importance of salt. And to apply salt physically, as salt is to the sea and the ocean, in like manner is salt, kingdom salt, to this earth. God, in his great wisdom, when he created the heavens, or I should say more, the earth, when he created the earth, and when he created the seas and the oceans, and he created it with what? With salt in the sea and in the ocean. And the reason for that, because salt would be a cleaning and preserving compound for the creatures in the water and for the protection of the world. I mean, if there was no salt in the seas or the ocean, it would be totally polluted, totally corrupted, until it would be just so putrid and it would destroy life and awful consumption. But again, the all-wise God knew this, and so he put that salt in the sea and in the ocean as the preserving means for animals and for man. And so I hope you're starting to see the importance of that salt and us being called salt. I mean, what would the ocean and sea be without salt? Again, it would just be a foaming mass of pollution and corruption. And so, yes, I'm thankful that God put salt in the ocean and sea. And he even put it in various places in the earth, in the rocks and soil in this world. God has no doubt thoroughly salted this earth to preserve it from being a mass of just putrid water leading to awful pollution and desolation over all the earth. And I know that man has polluted some of the water in various places, but it doesn't take away what God has done when he created. And so in light of this, we need to understand that salt is no doubt an indispensable necessity of life, and it is God's antiseptic in the world full of depravity and decay. Again, salt was put in the rock, in the soil of the earth, so that the water, when they would filter through them, it would be clean and putrefied. Thus, as salt is needed for the sea, for its preservation, for its continuation, likewise is kingdom salt necessary for the preservation and continuation of the world. Because without the influence of kingdom salt, society will suffer moral decay and decompose into such a wicked and reprobate society. Now, we can already see how society is presently, and that because there is salt in this earth, many of God's people are here. Can you imagine if there was no Christians and no kingdom salt in this world? The importance of salt, my dear ones. And so I hope that you are understanding the importance of the words of Christ spoken directly to his people. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are kingdom salt. And so again, this is our high calling in God's providential plan, in his purpose, that his sheep, his own sheep, would be a persevering spiritual compound that would keep the world and the earth from totally decaying completely. You know, we've read this the past few Sundays, and I want to read it again from Philippians 2:15. This is will apply again next week, mostly to life, but I believe it can also be applied to the aspect of salt in this present evil world, because it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among ye shine as light in the world. And this is, again, for the application of life, but I think the essence of salt can also be applied there. Now, as naming the name of Christ, Christian, you need to be salty. Okay? In other words, there is a sense that we need to pour out a lot of salt in this wicked and adulterous generation in which we live in, which we live in, and we know that is wholly corrupted. Why? Because salt preserves from total corruption and destruction. It is, for a lack of a better term, a moral disinfectant in the world that is again so morally decayed and depraved and polluted. And to think again that God has called us, His people, to have that preserving effect upon society causes to really examine myself to say, am I salty enough? Did I have an impact on others? You know, when we look at salt in the physical aspect, salt or sodium chloride, it does not deteriorate. And perhaps this is the meaning of our Lord Jesus Christ, because salt does not lose its saltiness unless it is corrupted or unless it is mixed with something, and therefore neither should we. You see, if salt is left in contact with a damp cloth or a wet napkin on the table, it ceases to be salty. And this is why Christ said, it is therefore good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. And therefore, if we're not affecting the world through salt, then perhaps the world is affecting us. Pastor George Truett made this point. He said, quote, you are either being corrupted by the world or you are either salting the world, unquote. I love that. So are we influencing the world by being salt, or is the world influencing us and we're becoming unsavory? Another writer has said this, quote, if we are not salting the world, do you know what that means? It means that the world is rotting us, unquote. So, in passing, let me just make this point also, because there's many that profess to be Christians that are not, and they give a bad testimony to Christianity. And I think part of this problem is that health and wealth gospel. Because the problem with the easy believism gospel of our day, I mean, it just tells you, just cast your vote to Jesus, just raise your hand for Jesus to walk and say a prayer for Jesus, and we guarantee you a life of success, a life of dream, a life of great wealth and health, and we can guarantee a prosperity plan for you, and you know, and all these things. Again, you know, that health and wealth gospel. Well, guess what? Christ never said that. Jesus never promised any of this. So what happened is that you have a lot of professing Christians who are just mere professors, and instead of being salt to the world, they're vinegar. And so the world looks at them and goes, ah, that guy says he's a Christian, but it's a false professor. And so I hope you see the importance of being true salt, my dear ones. Okay? Because if you're not, instead of having a positive effect, you can have a negative effect in your testimony. Okay? And so, the importance, in contrast to those who are just mere professors and not true professors of Christ, as I said, they're just mere vinegar or pepper to this world, instead of being the true salt. Now, what Christ did promise is, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that meek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven. And so this is what Christ has promised us. Okay? Therefore, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, Christ said, but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. And so the importance that, again, if we name the name of Christ, we are called to be the salt of the earth. And it comes with a very, very important responsibility. Well, let us now get into our first point, number one, the impact of salt. Because salt, again, is used for preservation. Okay? As physical salt has had an impact on this earth, let us all who name the name of Christ this morning spiritually have an impact of salt. Let us just look quickly at the physical application of salt. We saw a little bit, but I'm going to add a little bit more, because we know before refrigeration, the way they would keep the meat was through salt. Okay? And so it does have a means of preservation. And so as we consider the impact of salt, we must consider that salt has that particular important effect, both physically and spiritually. We need salt for our physical survival. Salt, like food, like water, is necessary for our life. You know that if you run out of water, what happens? You die of dehydration. If you run out of food, what happens? You die of starvation. And guess what? If you run out of salt, you will die of what is known as hyponatremia, which is a deficiency of sodium in the blood. And so, the importance of having salt in our life, okay? And, you know, having no salt whatsoever in your diet, okay? We know that if we have too much salt, that it can affect us also, but a person gets to a point that they don't have any salt whatsoever in their diet, that can also lead to awful consequences and symptoms that are horrific. It can lead to such an agonizing death. You know, I read that in the time of the Roman Empire, one of the means of putting to death a prisoner was to keep them from having any type of salt in the food that they gave them. So you gave him food that had no sodium until his body starts running out of sodium. And so they start to die an awful and very painful death as the internal organs began to shut down. And then the worms would breed on their insides, and they miserably perish by that slow and lingering death. Every part of the body then becomes so corrupted, full of corruption. It was such an awful way to die. You know, the Roman soldiers knew this, and part of the wages was what? That they were paid in salt, because they knew they needed it. But if you kept salt away from their wages, those Roman soldiers would revolt, because they knew the importance of salt. And we know that we take salt lightly in our day, but in those days, back early, salt was the means of life. And also the means of being rich and things like that. Because salt was so important. As a matter of fact, we all know what the word salary is, don't we? I mean, that's what you get paid from your employer. But you know that this word salary has a very important etymology. Because salary comes from the idea of the Roman soldiers getting paid in salt payments. Or what used to be called salt money, which came out of the English word salary. Okay? And I doubt it very much that in this 21st century, any one of us want to get paid in salt. But it was very needful back then. Okay? But the point is, our bodies do need sodium. It is in our blood system. And it is that sodium in our blood system that help keep our organs clean. I mean, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, and this is just the easiest way to explain all of this without all the medical terminology that I kept reading and thinking, this is just too deep. But nonetheless, sodium regulates the passage of nutrients in the cells, and without sodium, the important nutrients cannot enter into your cells. And the end result is that you will start to have some sort of severe malnutrition and complete exhaustion, regardless of how good your diet might be. As with anything else, too much salt, too much sodium in the blood is also dangerous, and it's called hypertonatremia, which we know too much sodium in your blood system can lead to high blood pressure, okay? And not only does too much salt or sodium lead to high blood pressure, but it can also lead to fluid retention, which is very dangerous. And so What does this do? It causes the heart to work even harder, which can lead to heart failure and sadly a heart stroke. And so the importance of moderate sodium levels to help control blood pressure, blood volume, your nerves, your muscles, all of that also needs sodium in order to function properly. But too much sodium or excessive amount of sodium can have harmful effects in your health, and it can affect your kidney, digestive problems, and even skeletal issues, and it can also affect your bones. And so be careful when you take the salt shaker and you keep going like this and like this and like this, like this, and then the next one again, it can have its effects, my dear ones. Now, don't misunderstand, we do need sodium, okay? But too much of it can be harmful to our body, as well as too little of it. And so remember that we do lose sodium in three ways. Excuse me, but I have to say this. By urine, number two, by sweating, and thirdly, by your tears. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tasted your tears? Are they not salty? Are they not salty? Yes, they are. So that's another means how we lose salt out of our body, okay? And of course, as I said, by sweating and all that. But now, my whole point, going through all that, if salt is so important for the ocean, if salt is so important in this earth for the rock and all things, and if salt is so important for our physical bodies and other things, I believe this broadens the application and it amplifies the implication and application that our Lord Jesus Christ has to do with salt in society when he said to you, when he said to me, and every one of you that named the name of Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. It is important. It is very important. And therefore, the impact of salt in the earth. Salt is for preservation, physically, but more importantly, spiritually also. And so may God grace us to be aware of the impact of being salt in our society. As souls are at stake. As salt is needful, again, in the physical sense, that is, the world cannot survive without sodium, without salt. But there's also a sense that the world cannot survive without spiritual salt either. And therefore, we are indispensable salt. And this is why Christ said, you are the salt of the earth. And therefore, the impact of salt for the preservation of society upon this earth. And so I hope you see the magnitude of the spiritual implication and impact of salt. But now, quickly and secondly, the importance of salt. And we already gave you a lot of information about the importance of salt. But again, salt is for salivation and for flavoring. Again, not only the impact of salt, but the importance of salt. I mean, does not salt help flavor the food? I mean, don't we say we eat something, oh man, this needs salt. My wife and I used to go to a restaurant that we love, a barbecue plate. We love the barbecue beef rib. Oh my goodness. But we stopped going there. You know what? They over-salted them. We would eat it, and it was so salty. We didn't have to convey to them, can you just kind of skim on the a little bit on the salt? And it was just too salty. It was too salty. And I know that Alex and those of you that barbecue, I mean, you just love putting that salt on the meat. What? For flavoring and other seasoning that we do. It is important. And so the importance of salt. And again, as I said earlier, on the other side of the coin, if you ever tasted something, you say, man, this needs salt. Why? So it can taste better. So we can taste that flavor, you know? Just out of curiosity, let me ask you another question. Is there a sense that preaching or speaking about salt, does it cause you to salivate? Mm-hmm. I bet you all can't wait till I'm down so you can go eat lunch and put some salt in your food, right? So, Joe, can you finish real quick? Know that on Facebook, just go to the refrigerator and get your sandwich and keep hearing me. Nonetheless, amen. It is important. It is important. And so, there's a sense that salt causes that salivation, and it is important for flavor. And so may God cause us to be that spiritual kingdom salt to this dying world. Not only this, but maybe next time that you're eating at home at a restaurant and, you know, salt falls on the table and we just wipe it off as being so insignificant, may it preach to you a sermon. You know, things that salt is so insignificant, but it would prick your heart. Then you might ask yourself, is my salt insignificant? Is my spiritual salt making an effect? My. We put that salt in the food again. Maybe it preached to you the importance of flavoring your food. Therefore, we are to flavor spiritually society, my dear ones. That's my point. That we would give to society a good flavor and not be vinegar or something sour to this world. In other words, does my salt produce salvation in others that they might say, man, I want to be a Christian. You know, I want to be a follower of Christ. The importance of salt, my dear ones. So we asked this morning, I ask you, ask myself, what kind of salt are you? What kind of salt am I? Again, is your salt salivating to others? Does your salt have an effect? Or has your salt lost this saltiness? Hopefully it's not vinegar or pepper, my dear ones. Because again, the words of Christ are indeed powerful. And only you can answer the following question as, what kind of salt are you? Christ again says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast down and to be thrown on the foot of men. I mean, there's so much to the study of salt. I mean, I might even have time to go into what. Did y'all know that in the Old Testament there was a covenant called the covenant of salt? Did they use on the offering of the sacrifices? The covenant of salt is so important, really, when you study it. And remember also earlier when in my introduction I said that being salt is what? A high calling. A high calling. You see, Philippians 3:14 tells us, I press to the mark of the price of the high calling of God. And part of my high calling is to be salt in the earth. And that's the importance of salt. And so if you name the name of Christ, I hope that you would examine yourself and that you would see, am I affecting others by my lifestyle? This is again the high calling that includes the importance of what? Being salt. And so I do ask myself sometimes, am I making an impact in society that others might see my salt, that cause them to salivate and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ. I mean, do they see our conviction, our dedication, and say, I want to follow Christ like that person? Is my salt making an impact at home and abroad? So again, I ask, how is your salt this morning? Remember in the late 80s and early 90s, the commercial on TV regarding basketball superstar Michael Jordan. Do you remember what the catching line in this commercial was? I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Well, I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Christ. Amen. Does my salt cause me to give such a testimony that others might want to say, hey, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. This is the impact of salt, the importance of salt. I want to be like Christ. More loving, more forgiving, more merciful, more understanding, more compassionate, and so forth. And having more of a heart to share the gospel with others. So again, no, I don't want to be like Mike. Nothing against Michael Jordan, one of my favorite players. But I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. You know, I love what it says there in 1 John 2:6. It says, he that said he abided in him ought also to walk even as he walked. In other words, we are to walk as Christ walked. To be as Christ. To be his follower. Okay? We are to walk as Christ walked. Colossians tells us, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, which Christ sit in the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. That's the only way we can be like Christ. Remember, even Christ himself said in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. I mean, if we want to be like Christ, we need to follow Christ. We need to follow him wholeheartedly. I mean, if we want others to celebrate our walk, we must follow Christ with our whole heart. And so, oh my dear ones in Christ, please understand the importance of salt. The importance of salt, that spiritual and kingdom salt, as being followers of Christ. And then quickly, because time's escaping me, number three. Not only the impact of salt, not only the importance of salt, but thirdly and lastly, the indispensability of salt. Again, salt is also for sanctification, my dear ones. Salt is used as a cleaning compound. And as salt, as we have seen already in various ways, that salt is indispensable to this earth, in like manner, spiritual salt is utmost indispensable in this earth also. Salt, again, is a cleaning compound as well as a preserving agent in the world. Therefore, again, the impact of salt, the importance of salt, and again, the indispensability of salt. In other words, God's sheep should make an impact in society. God's sheep are to see the importance of being a preservation of society, and thus, if you understand the first two, you see the indispensability of salt to society. You know, again, if you wipe off that salt of the table or you sweep it off the floor, again, could it preach a sermon to you? And perhaps you might say, is my life so needless and mere dispensable like this common salt that I'm not having an effect on anybody? So again, what kind of salt are you, my dear ones? What kind of salt am I? Are you that good, preserving, flavorful, salivating salt to others? I mean, does it have a sanctifying effect? Or has your salt lost its saltiness? Sadly, but is it vinegar? Again, the words of Christ is so important, but only you can answer the question, what kind of salt are you? Ye are the salt of the earth. You know, one of the applications I want to make regarding being salt, yea, being indispensable salt, as a sanctifying application in the aspect of our tongues. Our tongues can have a positive effect, and our tongues can have a negative effect. So the question is your tongue sanctified? Is your tongue seasoned with grace? Is your tongue seasoned with salt? So as we conclude, let me just make the application of salt regarding our tongue. And the reason I conclude with the tongue is because you do know that the tongue is tied in with the words of Christ when he said, you are the salt of the earth. We'll get to that in a minute. Just remember that. Let me just ask you a question, again, to those of you named the name of Christ. Does your tongue manifest, or perhaps I should say, does your tongue witness a blessing or a curse? I mean, does your tongue represent true salt, or does your tongue represent stinking vinegar? The Apostle James spoke a lot about the tongue. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, or I should say, the Epistle of John. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The Epistle of James chapter 1. Verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In other words, again, James said, it is better what? To hear than to be slow to speak. Why? Because of the effect of the tongue, my dear ones. But he does continue. In verse 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Wow. So again, how is your tongue this morning? How is your tongue? Turn to James chapter 3. Let's read the first 13 verses here. James again says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend on. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet they turn about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listed. Even so the tongue, there it is, the smallest muscle in the body, even so the tongue is a little member and boasted of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and that it set the fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man. You know, I think about that, and it's so sad sometimes on Facebook. I see some people who are professing Christians. They put in the verse, and then later on they put something wicked, and they might have a curse word. I'm like, don't you know you just put a verse, and how that doesn't look good? It always grieves my heart when I see that. But again, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse man, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth, excuse me, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. So again, my question, does your tongue manifest a blessing or a curse? Or does it witness both? Does your tongue represent a sanctifying tongue or a sinful, sarcastic vinegar? I will say this much, before God saved me, I had one of those wicked tongues that James is talking about. I couldn't even utter a sentence without a cuss word. I had such a filthy mouth, a vile tongue. But thanks be to God that one day God sanctified my tongue, and he seasoned it with grace when he saved me. So again, does our tongue represent a salt? Does it represent a blessing or a curse? Again, I'll let James answer this dilemma again. In verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things are not to be so. Excuse me, these things are not so to be. Does a fountain set forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that is your behavior, your conduct, which includes the tongue. Show out of a good conversation it works with meekness of wisdom. You can read the rest of the chapter for your own edification later on. But I hope you're getting the point of James, the Apostle James, making such a powerful point with the smallest member in the body that can produce the greatest and most powerful pain if we're not careful. Yet salt is a seasoning that gives flavor and zest to food. In like manner, if we name the name of Christ, our Christianity should be seasoning, my dear ones, adding good flavor to society. So how do you salt again this morning? We are to be a blessing to others, not a curse. A sinful tongue does nothing but curse. But Christianity should be a blessing to others. And then again, it's so sad to see a professing Christian that has a sour disposition, moody, always complaining, being selfish and rude. You know, it's sad when you see Christians that can't even get along. It's unpleasant. It's not good. It is not a good seasoning effect to others around them. And so the Apostle Paul, understanding the effect of this, the meaning of Christ's word about being salt and applying it to the tongue. And so I hope you knew where I was going to. Colossians chapter 4. And now you'll know why I spent so much time on the tongue. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always. Stop there for a second. You circle that always. Highlight it, underline it. What does it say? Let your speech sometimes, most of the time. No, it's not what it says. It says always. Let your speech be what? Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Is your tongue seasoned with salt? Is your tongue seasoned with grace? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. I like to put my own verses to go back and look at. And I put Psalm 17:3. Let's see. Why did I put that? I'll read it to you. For Colossians 4:6. Psalm 17:3. Oh. David says, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I love that. That's Psalm 17:3. So again, how is your speech this morning? Is it seasoned with salt? Or is it bitter? Like vinegar. Does it give a sweet taste or a sour taste? Season with grace. Please notice that the speech in grace that is seasoned with salt is in contrast or antithesis to what corrupt communication that Paul mentioned, if you recall there in Ephesians 4:29, when it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And he concludes that by saying, be angry and sin not. So corrupt communication should not come out of the Christian mouth, because our tongue should be seasoned with grace. So, how is your tongue this morning? Better yet, actually, how is your speech this morning? But also, how is your tongue this morning? Let me address the men first. Men, how do you speak to your wife? We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So how do you talk? How do you speak to your wife? Do you demean them verbally? Do you always talk down to them? Do you yell at them, worst of all? Let me never hear you curse your wife. This is not a speech or a tongue that is seasoned with grace and seasoned with salt. No, this is a tongue that is cursed with vinegar. Or how do your children hear you when you speak? Your wife, your children, your parents, your co-workers, your friends at work. What do they hear what comes out of your mouth? And man, I do not want to hear and say, but Pastor Joe, you don't understand my wife. She makes me so mad. No, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. So you think that just because your wife makes you angry, it gives you a green light to verbally abuse them? Notice the words of Paul again. Let your speech be always, always seasoned with salt. Or you might say, well, Pastor Joe, you just don't know my wife. You don't know my wife. Well, you married her. There's no excuse for unwholesome language. Now, I will say this much, okay, because we're human beings. I can understand that we might just lose it, you know, that you just get to that point that, oh, you're about ready to explode. And you almost saw Pastor Joe as never before when we had that meeting after church regarding somebody that left our church. And you don't know how close I was to exploding. I almost lost control of my tongue. And I thank God that He graced me. Because it would have been such an embarrassment to me as naming the name of Christ. So I understand it can happen that we can lose our sense of, oh, and get so mad and say something that we regret. But my point is, don't let that be a habitual thing. That's my point. That cannot be habitual, my dear ones. It cannot be. You see, again, if it's habitual, not only do you need to examine your tongue, but I would say you better examine your heart. And again, as I would say, if it's too hard for you, if it's too much for you, if you just say, man, that's not fair, I can't handle that, then don't call yourself a Christian. Because Christianity comes with an instructional book called the Bible. And it tells you how to live your life, regardless. Okay? What about the wives? Woo! Come on now. Let me tell you. Oh, man, look at all the wives. Oh, look at all the faces. Oh, my. But now we talk to the husband. Let's talk to the wives now. Okay? It worked both ways. So, wives, do you build up your husbands in the Lord? Or do you beat them down with your tongue? Mothers, how do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your children? Again, is our tongue seasoned with grace? Or is our tongue a weapon of mass destruction? Solomon, remember, speaking about his mother. I love what he says, or speaking to mothers in Proverbs 31. He says this about a mother's tongue. In verse 26, it says, she opened up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So mothers, do you have the law of kindness to your children? My dear one, there's so much about the tongue and salt, but again, as I said, time has escaped me. So I hope, again, that you've seen the importance about the tongue in the Bible. You know, the importance of salt. And so, may our speech be seasoned with grace. May our speech be seasoned with salt. Our tongue and speech must be seasoned with salt. Again, not vinegar, but with salt. Because salt touches every aspect of our Christian walk, in our actions, in our speech. Therefore, do not take the words of Christ lightly, but very careful, vigilant, being watchful of the salt that we must be to this earth. Okay? So Christ again instructs us. He commands us, you are the salt of the earth. You know, in Mark 9:50, he said, salt is good, but if the salt has lost his saltness, wherefore will ye season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. And therefore, again, the impact of salt in its preservation, the importance of salt in its salivation and flavoring, And then the indispensability of salt in its sanctification, my dear ones, in our lives. As we know, it's not so much about the talk, but about our walk.
Right.
And never forget that, my dear one. And therefore, the impact of salt, the importance of salt, the indispensability of salt. And so may God grace us to be that salt to this dying earth. And this morning, if you're outside Christ and you have a mouth, put your tongue, perhaps cursing or whatever. Guess what? Not only can Christ change your heart, but He can change your tongue. I know, because that's what He did for me when He saved my soul. So I bid you, come to Christ. Come in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of you who are in Christ, take heed to the words of Christ again when He said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Yes, my dear ones, in Christ we have a heavenly calling as we walk upon this earth being salt. Kingdom salt. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for reminding us of our responsibility of naming the name of Christ that has to do everything with our walk and even our tongues, Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that our tongues are truly seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that we be a blessing when we speak words, Lord. And so, God, cause us to see this and to understand this, the importance of the high calling that we have. And again, we pray for those that are yet outside Christ, that You'll be pleased to save, Lord. And so, God, bless Your word and help us to understand the things that were preached this morning, and that we'll make application of it as being the salt in the earth. And so, God, we ask all this in Your blessed and holy name. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for being with us through the means of Facebook. Godspeed and God bless. Let's stand, brother.